This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His bounty upon us, not because of anything else really, that we've reached hadith number 14. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla ease us into finishing this book and learning from it. This particular hadith is a dua from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And you will in it see what loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads to and it entails, and what the opposite does. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma man amana bika wa shahida anni rasuluka fahabbib ilayhi liqa'aka wa sahhil alayhi qada'aka wa aqlil lahu min ad-dunya. He says, O Allah, whoever believes in you, whoever has iman in you, and testifies that I am your messenger, so make meeting you beloved to him, and make your decree easy for him, and give him less from the dunya. Right? And that last part is shocking for some people when you hear it, right? And then he continues, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِكَ وَلَمْ يَشْهَدْ أَنِّي رَسُولُكَ فَلَا تُحَبِّبْ إِلَيْهِ لِقَاءَكَ وَلَا تُسَهِّلْ عَلَيْهِ قَضَاءَكَ وَأَكْثِرْ لَهُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And he said, O Allah, and the one who does not have iman in you, does not believe in you, and does not testify that I am your messenger, so do not make meeting you beloved to him, and don't make your decree easy for him, and give him more from the dunya. Right? So if he doesn't believe in you, give him more from the dunya. And you get a hint of this hadith at life being a journey, because you are journeying towards meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now whether you like it or not, whether you look forward to it or not, that is something else. But life in itself is a journey. And if you think about it, as human beings, we're constantly moving. We're never really standing still. Always, even if you're sitting, your mind is moving. You're always thinking about something and you're moving from one to the other. So one thought to the other. Okay, so that is going to be loud. Brothers, hey, that's going to be loud. Okay, one second. Done? Okay. You owe me. You owe me, inshallah. Get it back for me later. So you're constantly moving. So one thought to the other, one emotion to the other, one concern to the other, one home to the other, one country to the other, right? One love to the other. So you're never really standing still. So that's what life is. You're constantly on the move, changing friends, acquaintances, lands, what you like becomes what you hate later, what you hate becomes what you like later. So we're always moving and traveling. And it is interesting that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he explained travel as qit'atun min al-'adhab. It is a piece of torment. Travel is a piece of torment. Like any physical travel that you take is tormenting. And if you think about it, I mean, even think of your own journey, like whatever journey you've taken, there is a little bit of torment in it, right? A little bit of inconvenience and discomfort because you're away from all of your amenities and loved ones. Whatever you are used to that makes your life easy, you're away from. Travel in itself, as easy as it is today, still is uncomfortable. Until you come back to what is comfortable, until you come back to your loved ones, and until you come back home. Home is where you're comfortable, right? Otherwise, you completely feel out of place as you move from one thing to the other and one spot to the other. So if you think about it, not only in terms of physical travel, but if all of our life is travel, we're experiencing that torment as we jump from one thing to the other. And the reason why we jump from one thing to the other is that nothing is complete and satisfying enough for us to stay, this is it, I don't need anything else. Right? That's why you keep pursuing. Why do you keep eating? Because when you finish eating, you're fine. But after an hour or two or several hours, you're hungry again. So you're on the pursuit for another meal. So whatever you get from the dunya, anything new, when you get it, once you get it, after you get it, it becomes old. And when it's old, it's dissatisfying. And when it's that's the case, you look for something else, and then something else, and something else. And as you keep moving, you know that, and you notice in it that there are two things that are wrong with it. One, it's not permanent. And the second, it's not complete. And part of its incompleteness, good, far out, further away? Okay. This is better? Okay. So part of that incompleteness is that it doesn't last. So as you notice this about everything in life, you think and you ponder, what is the thing that is going to make me satisfied and full and complete? And the only thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the only thing that is permanent and can grant permanence, and He's the only one who is complete and can satisfy you completely. Everything in the dunya is not designed to be like that. So everything in the dunya, whether you love it or not, will disappoint you if you attach yourself to it. So meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking to meet Him, if you really ponder it and contemplate it, you think that is the only thing that will bring me complete and final satisfaction. But without getting that, I will never be satisfied. Never, and there will always be a gap inside of me, inside my soul, inside my heart and head, that is always seeking something, and whatever I've tried to fill that gap with, that thing is too small to fill it. Only a meeting Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal says here, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So it says, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that you're going to meet Him. That sooner or later, you're going to have that encounter with Allah Azza wa Jal. The beautiful thing, he concludes that ayah by saying, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and give the mu'mineen, the believers, good news of that. Because why is that the case? And why give them good news of this? Because this is the thing that they were waiting for. So imagine, you know, you've been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without seeing Him and talking to Him without listening back except in the Qur'an that He had revealed. And you've complained to Allah and you draw nearer and closer to Him. And all of your ibadah, and in fact, salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen, my prayer, my worship, my life and my death belong to Allah. When you reach that stage, when you are in such relationship with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you have given everything to Him, but yet you haven't seen Him, the thing that you want the most is to see Him, that encounter. Because everything you do is towards it. Everything that you do is to connect you with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what an incredible encounter it may be. What an incredible meeting that will be when you finally see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the object of worship, the object of devotion, the object of your elevation and your praise, the one that you've been talking to all this time and complaining to about this and that, the one who knows you more than you may know yourself. And no one knows you, even your spouse, your child, your parents, who know you very well, by the way, but they do not know you more than Allah Azza wa Jal. And you do not know yourself more than Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's an incredible meeting with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very intimate, very emotional, very satisfying, and it's very comforting. Because you will not find comfort until you see Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll find partial comfort, but you'll not be fully comfortable until you see Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here on page 148, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said, لَيْسَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ رَاحَةٌ دُونَ لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ رَاحَتُهُ فِي لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ فَكَأَنْ قَدْ يعني على وشك أن يحدث. He said, radiyallahu anhu, he says, the believer, the mu'min, receives no comfort, meaning full comfort, until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ When whoever's comfort is in meeting Allah azza wa jal, this is about to happen soon. Meaning, you don't have to wait very long for it. If that's what you're waiting for, your comfort is not in a meal that you're going to eat, or a place that you're going to visit, even though these things provide partial fun and enjoyment and what have you. But your real comfort is in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, if that's the case, it will soon happen. Meaning wait for it and pray for it, that it would be a pleasant encounter. And if someone came to Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, and he said, and Ahmad is in Baghdad, and he said, I came from Khurasan. Khurasan is Iran and beyond. So he says, I came from Khurasan to ask you one question. مَتَى يَجِدُ الْمُؤْمِنُ طَعْمَ الرَّاحَةِ He says, when will the believer find the taste of comfort? You imagine all that travel to ask that one question. مَتَى يَجِدُ الْمُؤْمِنُ طَعْمَ الرَّاحَةِ When will the believer find comfort? قَالَ عِنْدَمَا يَضَعُ رِجْلَهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ He says, when he puts his foot in Jannah. That's when he becomes comfortable. Before that, he is striving and struggling against himself, the shaitan, temptations, and all of these things. But that comfort is when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you will find complete comfort. And that is when we can call the greatest reunion, the greatest meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thing that we've been waiting our whole lives to meet. And think about it too, and that's kind of a side note before we continue, is that we said that in life we're always traveling, and in fact sometimes migrating a country to another. You migrate from a job to another, one neighborhood to the other, meaning you're actively moving away for a reason. But there is a type of hijrah that we are doing or supposed to do in the dunya, where we are migrating from anything other than Allah to Allah. With your heart initially and primarily, and then with body. So migrate away from loving things that are opposite to Allah Azza wa Jal to loving Allah. And from displeasing Allah to loving Him, or to pleasing Him. And from being away from Him to being closer to Him. So that is a movement that is part of our life as well. So when you find yourself traveling and sacrificing for the sake of the dunya, consider a migration or a hijrah for the sake of Allah. This is haram, so I'll move away from that haram to this halal, from this displeasure to what pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything or any spot or any act is coming closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you come closer to Him in the dunya like that, you come closer to Him in the akhirah. And meeting Him subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the happiest moment in your life, because you've given up all of this for Him and now you're waiting to see Him. And subhanallah, as you look forward and you are happy to seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wants to see you. And Allah is happy to see you. And there's a hadith that tells us about something that happened in the dunya, but we can extend it, of course, to understand it's similar and even more in the akhirah. So there's a hadith on page 149 where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا تَوَطَّنَا رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلصَّلَاةِ وَالذِّكْرِ He says, if a male Muslim, this is because he's talking about the masjid, and the same applies to women at their homes. He says, مَا تَوَطَّنَا رَجُلٌ الْمَسْجِدَ لِلْمَسَاجِدِ وَالذِّكْرِ He says, if a person kind of establishes himself in the masjid, meaning frequents the masjid so much, as if it becomes a watan, meaning a place of residence for him, salah after salah, dhikr after dhikr, halaqa after halaqa. So he establishes himself in the masjid as if he is living in it. So this is his place for salah and for dhikr. إِلَّا تَبَشْبَشَ اللَّهُ لَهُ Except that Allah will be happy with him from the time that he leaves his home, as the family of an absentee will be happy with their absentee when he returns to them. So imagine a traveler. That's what the hadith is talking about. Someone who has traveled and stayed away for a long time. And now you know that he's coming back. From the moment that he comes, you know that he's coming back, till the time that he opens the door and enters. Imagine the happiness and the longing and the wait just to meet this person after such a period of separation. So Allah Azza wa Jal, for every time that you, if you frequent the masjid, you leave, but then you come back, he is happy with you more so than the family of a loved one, waiting for him and happy for him when he comes back. And that is every time you come to the masjid. So imagine coming to the obedience of Allah, and you imagine at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is smiling at you and is loving the fact that you're coming from the moment you come until you are in the masjid, because you had become a person of the masjid. So of course, something similar and greater than that when all of you moves to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why we say it's a most beautiful of reunions, where you meet him subhanahu wa ta'ala and you get to hear him yourself and you get to see him. And there is nothing that you will experience that will be greater than seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing at all. All the promises that we have in Jannah are great, but they pale in comparison to what he subhanahu wa ta'ala is and will give you in return for just looking at him. So the hadith at the same page, where he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, qala idha dakhala ahlul jannati al-jannah, when the people of Jannah, they enter Jannah. So Allah Azza wa Jal will tell them, turiduna shay'an azidukum. He says, after they enter Jannah, and now in Jannah, what did you enjoy? You enjoyed this and this and this and that. Then Allah will ask them, he says, do you want me to give you something more? Right? So they said, أَلَمْ تُبَيِّضْ وُجُوهَنَا Did you not whiten our faces? Did you not allow us to enter Jannah and save us from hellfire? Meaning, you've given us so much that there's nothing else that we could ask. قَالَ فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ So he removes the barrier. فَمَا أُعْطُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Subhanallah. He says, he removes the barrier and they will not be given anything more beloved to them than gazing and looking at the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. So all the food, because see, what gives us pleasure in this life? You say, I'm going to eat this, that makes me happy. I'm going to drink that, that makes me happy. I'll meet so and so, that makes me happy. I will go and shop, that makes me happy. So all of these things are nothing compared to what you will see in Jannah, right? And that is nothing compared to seeing Allah Azza wa Jal. It all pales. So that tells you that what a wonderful sight that would be, just to look at Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is a relationship of love. That is a relationship of contentment. That's a relationship of complete satisfaction beyond your imagination, because you couldn't imagine anything beyond what Allah had given you. And now you get to look at Allah Azza wa Jal. Now that is an incredible meaning that you get from it, more than you could ever imagine in this dunya. So if we think or limit what we love to the dunya in this dunya, we have to rethink that. There is something greater that we are missing. The path to it is through what Allah revealed. Because the salah connects you to Allah Azza wa Jal and makes you closer to Him. And when you're closer to Him, you'll get some sense of what we are talking about. Fasting gets you closer. The Qur'an gets you so close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that you get to taste some of the pleasure that we are talking about. So throughout that journey, and when we journey in this life, we get closer to things that we love and away from things that we hate. Let Allah Azza wa Jal be something that we strive to be closer to because of love, and we love because we want to be closer to. That is, push yourself, even if you don't feel it at the moment, because then Allah will reward you with love, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the greatest thing that you have. And even in Jannah, The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ فَإِنَّهُ أَوْسَطُ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ فَوْقُهُ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ وَمِنْهُ تَفَجَّرُ أَنْهَارُ الْجَنَّةِ. He says, if you were to ask Allah, meaning for Jannah, ask Him for al-Firdaus. Okay, this is the best of Jannah and the highest of Jannah, and the ceiling of it is the throne of the merciful, Ar-Rahman. And the rivers of paradise, they spring from al-Firdaus. So what makes al-Firdaus the best of Jannah? Because it is the highest of Jannah. And what significance does that hold? If it's the highest, the closest to Allah Azza wa Jal, the closest you can get to Him subhanahu in residence is al-Firdaus, what makes it the best of Jannah. So you want the best of it, it's the highest of it. And it's the best of it because it's the highest of it, because it's close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So this is the thing that you will ask Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you think about any people that we love in the dunya and we look forward to see, who is your idol and who is your role model and who is the person that you can't wait to meet? And a lot of people, they want to meet football stars and entertainers and influencers. And imagine the intensity of that meeting once they meet them. They can't control themselves. They can't control their emotions. They're about to faint. Finally, I'm meeting my idol. I can't believe that I'm meeting them. So that type of love, imagine if that type of love could be redirected towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Because it's a misplaced love. A love loving someone who is not offering any benefit to you or is not beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, that's a misplaced type of love. An athlete, an entertainer, that intense type of love does not and should not belong to them. Should belong to the righteous, and more so should belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That intense longing and meeting. I can't wait until I'm next to them. I could hear them. I could hear them talk to me. I could have an exchange. That should be the type of love that you have towards Allah Azza wa Jal. But it's understandable. If you love the dunya, you love the people of the dunya. But if you love the akhirah, then obviously you'll be loving the people of the akhirah and the Lord of the akhirah, who is Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's a misplaced type of love. But wanting to meet Allah and having that longing, a shawq, having a shawq to meet Allah Azza wa Jal is something that is actually in the hadith that is recommended that you ask for. So in this hadith here, and it's a beautiful hadith that you probably have encountered before, but each one sentence has a benefit in it. اللهم بعلمك الغيب وقدرتك على الخلق أحيني ما علمت الحياة خيرا لي وتوفني ما علمت الوفاة خيرا لي. You say, Ya Allah, asking you by your knowledge of the unseen and power over creation, grant me life as long as life is good for me, and take my life when you know that death is best for me. That's how it begins. And then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, الله وأسألك خشيتك في الغيب والشهادة. I seek your fear in private and in public. خشيتك في الغيب والشهادة. وكلمة الحق في الرضا والغضب. And to say the truth when I'm happy and I'm angry. When I'm content, when I'm pleased and I'm angry. وأسألك القصد في الفقر والغنى. And I ask you for moderation when poor and when rich. وأسألك نعيما لا ينفد. وَأَسْأَلُكَ قُرَّةَ عَيْنٍ لَا تَنْقَطِعْ. And I ask you for a joy that does not cease, does not end, and a pleasure that is continuous. وَأَسْأَلُكَ الرِّضَى بَعْدَ الْقَضَاءِ. And I ask you for content after your decree, meaning that I would be happy with it. وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And I ask you for comfortable living after death, cool living, بَرْدَ الْعَيْشَ. Cool living after death. وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ. Now we're coming to it. And I ask you for the pleasure of looking at your face. وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. And to long to meet you. That is, to can't wait to see you. A shawq. You know? في غير ضراء مضرة ولا فتنة مضلة. Without there being a harmful affliction or a misguiding fitna. That's not because of that that I want to see you. Not because of hardship that is just pushing me, but because I want to see you. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. Ya Allah, beautify us with the beauty of iman and make us among those who are guided and guiding of others. But you understand here what he is saying? أسألك الشوق إلى لقائك. Allah, I ask you that I would want to see you and can't wait to see you and that I would long to see you. Would that is in essence a dua to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else, that you want to see him more than anything else. And that is, as we said, reiterate, that's the greatest meeting of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that love of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intensifies before death. As you come closer to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah wants the best for you and you are doing the best, it grows in intensity before death. So in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allah liqa'a." It's as if you love to meet Allah, Allah would love to meet you. And if you hate to meet Allah, Allah would hate to meet you. So this is generally true. Aisha radiallahu anha here, when she asked, she says she had here a an issue. And that issue, that small issue here, well, what about death itself? Because death, all of us hate. Like, generally, if you say, I love to meet Allah Azza wa Jal minus death, you say, yes, I would love to. But to experience death is a must for you to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, and all of us hate death. Is that a problem? Is that an issue? He said, no, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because al-mu'min idha hadarahu al-maut. He says, when you're about to die and the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal are present, بُشِّرَ بِرِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ وَكَرَامَتِهِ, he'll be given the news of the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and the honor that is waiting for him. قَالَ فَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا أَمَامَهِ. There's nothing then at that moment more beloved to him than what lies ahead. He's dying. She's dying. But you've got the news of what? You know what is waiting for you? Allah is happy with you. So then that hatred of death is transformed into love. Let me proceed. I'm not afraid anymore. Let me continue. And so Allah loves to meet him because he loves to meet Allah Azza wa Jal. And the opposite is that the disbeliever, when the angels are present and they're giving him the news of the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal and his punishment, nothing is more hateful to him than what lies ahead. So he hates to meet Allah, and Allah hates to meet him. That's at the moment of death. But of course, there's an attitude before that, whether you love to meet Allah or hate to meet him. So if you are close to him in your salah, and if you're close to him in mind and heart, close to him in your Quran, you would love to meet him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, I can't wait to hear his voice, to see his face, to be next to him, to have an exchange, to ask him. So then you love to meet Allah, and for that Allah loves to meet you. And there are those who do the terrible things on earth, and if you remind them of Allah, that would be the worst thing for them. So they hate to meet Allah. And if because of that, Allah hates to meet them. So it also depends on the type of life that we live. And people also towards the end of time, Jazakallah khair, towards the end of time, quickly a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَقُمُ السَّاعَةَ, the day of judgment will not happen until a person would pass by another person's grave and he says, I wish I'm in his place. مَا بِهِ حُبُّ لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. It's not because he loves Allah that he said this. So it tells you that towards the end of time, things will be so bad that people would want to be dead instead of living. Subhanallah, right? But he says he's not wishing to die to be there because of loving Allah Azza wa Jal. He doesn't wish to be on the next life because of love of Allah. It's because of the hardship. So a person could wish to move on because they love Allah Azza wa Jal. Or a person could decide, or they would want to stay in life because they could obey Allah more. So here's the example on page 154. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu upon his death, right? See who is saying, speaking to death. He says, marhaban bil mawti. He says, welcome death. Zairan mughayyaba, a visitor that was hidden. Habiba, a beloved visitor. Ja'a ala faqa. He's speaking to death. He says, you've come when needed, or you came when I need a lot more deeds. He says, Ya Allah, you know that I used to fear you in my life, and now I hope from you. Like what it was dominant in my life, I was afraid of you. And now it's more hope because he's about to die. He say, Allah, I say, Ya Allah, you know that I did not want to stay in the dunya and extend my stay in it so that I can dig rivers or plant trees. But I wanted to stay to fast on hot days and to strive praying long hours at night and to crowd the knees of scholars in circles of remembrance. This means I wanted to live long. Why did he want to live long? To do what? To fast, not only fast on hot days. And they pray long hours at night and sit and seek knowledge and teach it. So here is an example of someone who wanted to stay longer, but there's a reason why he wanted to live longer. And that is because he can get more of what Allah loves for the time when he meets him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it could be both. It could be both. I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I cannot wait, but I want to live as long as Allah wants me to live to get as much as I can from this life. And that is really the essence of the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because somebody may ask, should I want to leave or should I want to stay? Which is better? So what did the dua of the Prophet alayhi salam that we just mentioned say? Ya Allah, if you know that living, continuing to live is best for me, continue. Let it continue. And when you know that death is best for me, then take my life. So you leave the matter up to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is a very valuable dua when you're feeling down and depressed and you feel like, I just want to ask for death. I'm tired of all of it. Remember that dua because it holds in it a remedy. Because when you say this, instead of you deciding when it's good for you to leave, you say, Ya Allah, you decide. And then if you live for the next 5 minutes, then what does that tell you? Then you're supposed to live those 5 minutes, right? Because it's good for you. And you live till tomorrow, then that is what? Good for you. So take advantage of the good that Allah is giving to you. And don't cut it short by saying, I want to die. As long as Allah is extending, let Him extend. He knows more than you and I what works for all of us. So don't give up. And so that is a beautiful dua to keep in mind. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed for Allah to ease His decrees for the believers. And that is so because as a believer, you know where that came from. And who is testing you? Or who is sending this to you? Allah Azza wa Jalla. What is this supposed to do? Lead you back to Him. So it's coming from Him to take you back to Him. And if it's coming from someone that you love, it's not so terrible after all. Because someone who loves you doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to bring you back and elevate you, and honor you, and cleanse you. So Amr ibn Abd Qais, he said, أحببت الله عز وجل حبا سهل علي كل مصيبة. This is on page 155. سهل علي كل مصيبة ورضاني في كل قضية فما أبالي مع حبي إياه ما أصبحت عليه وما أمسي. He says, the love of Allah عز وجل, I've loved Allah a love, such a love that had eased all difficulties for me and made me content with every affair that happens to me. So I don't care by loving Allah عز وجل what happens to me morning or night. Right? Like I love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that it's so overwhelming that everything else that happens is minimal and trivial. It could happen if it wants or it doesn't happen. Healthy or sick, rich or poor, having my family or not having my family, these things affect you. But he says the love of Allah is so dominant, so intense, it then doesn't matter whatever happens. I'm secure in the fact that Allah is with me and Allah will take care of me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there. And I can rely on His love. If I lose, I can go back to His love and He compensates me. And there is here on page 155 that I will just simply translate for the sake of time. But it's a really beautiful hadith that I really want you to read and to think about. That there was a sahabi, and this hadith is sahih, subhanAllah. Yani this was a sahabi who used to attend the gathering of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he had a kid. And that kid would be playing around him and he would climb over his shoulder and he would sit on his lap. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would witness all of this. And once he asked him, he says, "Tuhibbuhu?" The Prophet asked the man, he says, "Do you love him?" So the man answered, "What?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, ahabbaka Allahu kama uhibbu." He says, "Ya Allah, ya O Prophet of Allah, may Allah love you as much as I love this kid." That's a beautiful response. What does he mean? Does he love him? Intensely, right? So, فَامْتَنَعَ الرَّجُلُ أَنْ يَحْضُرَ الْحَلْقَةَ لِذِكْرِ ابْنِهِ. Meaning, then afterwards, after some time, that kid passed away. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't know, but he just noticed that he was absent. He didn't come. So he asked, he said, "O Prophet of Allah, do you not know what happened to his son?" He said, "What happened?" He says, "He passed away." So the Prophet ﷺ went to him. He consoled him. And then he told him, he says, "Ya fulan, so and so, which would you love more? That he would be alive and continue to be alive throughout your life, or that tomorrow you would not come to any gate of the gates of paradise, except that you would find him ahead of you, opening the door for you. Which one of the two would you want?" So he said, "O Prophet of Allah, that would find him ahead of me at any of the doors of paradise, opening that for me." So he said, "Fadhaka lak." He says, "That's yours." So they asked him, "Ya Rasulallahi, ja'alani Allahu fida'ak." He says, "O Messenger of Allah, is this only for him or all of us?" He says, "All of you." Right? So you understand, he was able to cope just because of what the Prophet ﷺ told him, right? That this wasn't bad. You will see him again, and it would be a lot better meeting than having him in life. Which one would you want? He says, imagine, right, if the Prophet gave you that assurance, "I'll wait, I'll see him in Jannah and open the door, and when we enter, and that'd be it. And we're not going to lose him anymore." So subhanAllah, I mean, when we're talking about something that is absolutely real. And that the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, as Amir said, rahimahullah, could ease all difficulty and could remove it. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is the anchor, Allah Azza wa Jal is there. So all problems shrink by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, and the last part that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had prayed for is that if a person believes and testifies that the messenger is the messenger, give him less of the dunya. And you shouldn't let that terrify you, because that's something good for you. It doesn't mean that you're going to be poor, does it? No. It means that you're going to have a smaller portion of the dunya so you don't get distracted. You don't get tested. It doesn't take you away from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It leaves your heart empty for Allah Azza wa Jal. It doesn't occupy you. That's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prayed for that. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ prayed for the opposite, for the disbeliever. You're empty already. You want the dunya, give him more of the dunya. It's not a sign of Allah's favor. But for the believer, Allah Azza wa Jal wants him to be what? Not overtaken by the dunya. So Allah, don't give him so much that it distracts him. And that should be also your attitude as well. Meaning minimize the love of the dunya and minimize attachment to it. And again, we don't say necessarily that you have to be poor to do this. But how you live, like you could have the money, but how you live and where your heart is at matters. So how do you minimize the dunya, love of the dunya? First of all, and that's the first basic level, is that you take the halal but not the haram. That's how you, the first severance, the first distance, you avoid the haram and you do the halal. And you avoid the doubtful and ambiguous. Because you will see that it will put a distance between you and the dunya. Just avoid the haram. See it. Just avoid it. That's haram. This is haram. But you need to ask if it's haram or not. Don't assume. But if you say haram and I will not do it, ambiguous, doubtful, and I will not do it, you will see a distance between you and the dunya. Because the dunya, and especially the dunya today, is built primarily upon haram. It's more widespread than the halal. Whereas the dunya naturally has more halal than haram in it. But the way that we manufactured it today, it's not the case. That's the first distance. The second distance is avoiding luxury and excess. Extra. I want the best of the best and to eat the best of the best. From time to time, you want to treat yourself. From time to time, you want to buy something extra. Go ahead. But to make that the custom and to make that the habit and wasting money on things in the dunya that you could be spending otherwise, then your heart is attached to the dunya. If you value yourself because of your belongings, because of how much you have and where you live, if you cannot see that there's something deeper and greater than how much money you have, then your heart is with the dunya. So you want to be better, distance yourself from it. Say, this is like that. This is enough. It's less expensive, and I'm going to discipline myself. Discipline myself by saying no to it. And then you will learn, and we will learn humility. And we will learn to say no. And that I don't need it. Because a lot of what? Non-essentials have become in our minds essentials. I must have this phone and that tablet and this thing and this dress and that vehicle. They became essentials. And if I don't have it, I'm being deprived. Not knowing that, that deprivation is the life of the soul. Because then your soul is alive to see that you can spend the time that you're going to spend lining up to buy a phone doing something beneficial. But you don't see it. Or the line that you, I mean, the time that you're spending on social media, scrolling through nonsense after nonsense, I could be doing something. I'm not going to even say read the Quran, but read something beneficial. On top of it is the Quran. But reading something beneficial. So we can't see because we're drowning in the trivial and drowning in luxury. So distance yourself from it and say no to it from time to time to give life to your soul. And that's what we do when we fast. That is the wisdom of fasting. And then focus on preparing for the next life. Focus on it. It's not only in simply the dunya. But focus on, if I've saved for the dunya, what is the akhirah? What is for the akhirah? If I've worked for the dunya today, how much did I do for the akhirah? So give some for the dunya and give some for the akhirah. And the portion that you give to the akhirah becomes the portion that will distance you again from the dunya and refocus you. And remind yourself when it comes to the dunya that all of it is temporary. None of the things that you have are yours or mine. All of it will be left behind, even your body. So if you're going to leave your own body behind, why do we spend so much time worrying about it, but not the soul that is our essence? So if you're going to feed the body, feed the soul, take care of the body, take care of the soul. Make sure that your soul, when it leaves, it has a nice home. You're taking care of the place, the physical place that houses your body. Great. But when it leaves this dunya, what home will it have? So work on that home as you're working on this home. So we finish here, inshallah. And we'll see, inshallah, if you have questions. Let me know. Fadl. Go ahead. Okay, so his question is that if you live in an area that has multiple mosques, should you frequent one in particular, or it's not necessarily the case? You would choose among them, right? The one that would be most convenient, closest, and best for your heart. So the one where, As long as it's convenient. Let's assume equal distance, right? So if you're closer to Allah Azza wa Jal in one location, that will be the location that you go to. If you're more obedient to Allah in one location, let that be your destination. Another thing that you could think of is need. So if there's a closer masjid that needs you more than the bigger masjid, and so you're more beneficial in that smaller masjid than the bigger masjid, then we say need also is a factor to keep in mind. So either of these two things, where your heart is closer to Allah Azza wa Jal and where you're most beneficial, I would say you choose that, bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal. Barakallahu. Yes. Okay to dance with music at school? Okay. They're asking you to do this? Okay, so talk to me after. Okay, inshallah. Okay. Yes, go ahead. To do what? I'm sorry? To take their dunya out of their heart. So that's what we talked about. One we can say is dua, asking Allah Azza wa Jal for that, and asking for His love. Spending more time on things that Allah Azza wa Jal loves, not necessarily things that we love. So these will be things pertaining to the Akhirah. So the more time that you will give to reading and understanding the Qur'an, the more that you will find Allah revealing to you the nature, the true nature of this life, because He warns you about it frequently. So, and the true nature of the hereafter, that that's the lasting home, whereas this is not. So the more that you read and understand the Qur'an, the more that you are devoted in your actions and give more time for it, and the less that you have of the dunya. So you say, I don't need so much. So you be content with living more of a minimalist life. I don't need so much of it. Then the dunya doesn't have much of a hold. Something new is coming up, I don't need it. I have enough. So to live contently and to learn to live contently. And to delay gratification. Oh, okay, maybe I need it, but I won't pay it, buy it now. A month, 2 months from now. Just to subdue the greed of the self. So these are some of the things I could recommend. Yeah, do we have things? Okay. So I think we have maybe something online. Let me look at it. No. Oh, inshallah. I have one online question. One loves something more when they learn about them or it. How can we get closer and learn about Allah apart from in the Quran? No, there's nothing called apart from what is in the Qur'an. Because the best way to know about Allah Azza wa Jal is through the Qur'an. Right? You just need a deeper understanding of what is there. If you want to add something to it, we say the Sunnah. There's no third way. So the Qur'an and the Sunnah, but no details. I mean, of what you're reading. Understand it in more depth. And focus on the names and attributes of Allah. Like the names of attributes that you find in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah, purchase a book that talks about them and explains what they mean. Right? And then you will find that your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal is much deeper because you know Him through multiple names and what these means name and how that relates to you and how you relate to Him through them. So the Qur'an, the Sunnah, not just reading. When I mean the Qur'an, I don't mean just reading. I mean understanding. So Qur'an, the Sunnah, and the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, sure. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So, yeah. So if you have the opportunity, this is a previous question, if you have the opportunity to make more money, so Allah Azza wa Jal asks you about missing out on that opportunity and bringing more money to your family, or is only asking you about just providing for them, right? Now, I mean, it's always a calculation. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to ask you, why didn't you make more money? Allah is going to ask you, did you provide for them? Was it enough for them? Residence, food, utilities, the basics, right? And beyond the basics. And I'm thinking you're not talking about the bare minimum. You're talking about more than basics. Alhamdulillah, they're living comfortably. But he asks you, why didn't you earn 100,000 more rather than what you have? That's not a question that Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask you. And it's always up to you. You could say to yourself, earning that much is a distraction, and I don't want that distraction, and I want to live humbly the way that I am, because it allows me to come to the masjid, and it allows me to do this, 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 this. Giving that up for the sake of Allah is jihad and is sacrifice, and Allah rewards you for it, because you're giving up the dunya for the sake of the akhirah. And if you know that more of the dunya is going to ruin you, don't pursue it. If you're a person like Abu Bakr and Uthman and Abdul Rahman, where you could manage, you could be rich, but you could give it away all in a moment, and it's not going to corrupt you, then we say you could be that person. So you know yourself better, and you know the limits. Okay. Anyone on the sister's side? No? Like, we're done with questions? Okay. Yeah, tafadhal. Okay. Yeah. Now, that's the reason. So you're referring to the hadith of the Prophet والسلام, that says that the poor will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich, and the rich will be held back for questioning. So 500 years of questioning. And that is because they have through the process of answering questions about where did they earn that money and how they spent it. The poor don't have to deal with that. So money does become a burden. Now, at the same time, keep in mind that for some of those who were rich, who will enter Jannah 500 years after, if they were more righteous than the poor, they could be higher. But at the same time, it does delay entry. So it tells you, right? It's a balance between how much you have and what you do with it versus are you better without all of it or some of it? So if you, when you have more, you're better because of it, then alhamdulillah, keep it and get even more. But if you're worse because of it, and that typically is the case for most, not all, but if you're worse because of it, then know your limit and get only enough that this is not going to be an obstacle for you when you meet Allah. It's a fitna. Having more wealth is a fitna. It's definitely a fitna. Some people survive it and some don't. So it's definitely a fitna. Having less could be a fitna, but it's lesser of a fitna. طيب, I think inshallah we conclude بإذن الله عز وجل. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.